millions of Americans are digging their graves with their teeth. I'll be back in a moment to talk about the deadly killer on your dinner table. Hello, this is Joe Cruz and the Amazing Facts broadcast, facts which affect you. You know, some years ago, a survey was taken in a certain American city, and every inhabitant responded to 156 questions included in that survey. It was discovered that the prime interest of adults was that of health, not politics, history, or even the weather, but health, their health, and the health of their families. Friends, what a paradoxical age this one is in which we live. It's a time when we have more doctors, hospitals, medicines, more medical knowledge of the care, treatment, and cure of disease, more pills, capsules, vitamins, and so forth, yet seldom has there been a time when more sickness and general ill health has plagued the human family. Millions are suffering the side effects of wrong living habits and wrongful eating and drinking. We live in a world that's shattered by pain. The cries of the sick and diseased are the trademarks of modern society. In spite of the incredible progress in medical research and the problems of health and longevity, we still have a most serious problem in these very areas that we're talking about. The Bible gives a simple, concise answer to the question of premature disability and death, of course. Millions would still be alive today had they but heeded the warning of God in Exodus 15, verse 26. Listen to these words. If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and will do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee which I brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. Now, friends, these words make it abundantly clear that anybody can actually postpone his own funeral. By obeying the laws of God concerning health and diet, disease may be mitigated or avoided altogether. It's apparent from this verse that it's not the will of God that great epidemic scourges of disease sweep millions into their graves. He wants us to prosper and be in health, both body, mind, and soul. Why then do we see so much suffering and disease in the world today? The answer is that the majority are violating the laws of their being. Just as surely as the laws of nature operate, so there are laws of our body which are just as predictable and certain. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. If a person falls from the roof, the law of gravity immediately takes over. Regardless of the age, sex, or financial status of that man, the falling body will go hurtling downward to be injured or killed. In the same way, if we violate the laws of our body, we may expect the inevitable consequences of sickness and death. Effect, you see, friends, is always preceded by a cause. To those who have seriously studied the counsels of God and the current world health trends, there is no mystery at all. Experts are puzzled that cancer has continued its spiraling increase. While many diseases have been greatly reduced and some of them eliminated altogether, cancer has kept on mushrooming. Even with unprecedented funding and research, there's been few significant breakthroughs in curbing the growth of this deadly malignancy. Now, we can understand easily the steady increase of lung cancer in the light of America's smoking practices. And this trend will doubtless keep right on until more people muster the simple moral courage to say no to imbibing a deadly poison. But few people understand that fully one-third of all cancers of the human body occur in the stomach. And one-half of all cancers are found in the organs of digestion, including the liver, pancreas, small intestine, and colon. The reason for this cancer concentration must be obvious to all of us today. Except for the lungs, of course, which are bombarded with hot tobacco tars, the stomach is the most abused organ of the body. Dr. James Ewing, one of the founders of the American Cancer Society, made this statement in a tract entitled The Prevention of Cancer. He said, "The perpetual abuse of a normal stomach frequently gives rise to cancer, and an abnormally weak stomach may suffer the same fate from less abuse. In both instances, abuse and overfunction must be regarded as the exciting cause. The stomach is not lined with copper, but by a single row of rather delicate epithelial cells. The sole safe conclusion to be drawn from these data is that all forms of abuse of the stomach must be avoided if the high mortality from this very common disease is to be reduced. End of quotation. Now, it's simply hair-raising and blood-curdling to see what goes into the stomachs of American men, women, and children. The great test seems to be whether it tastes good, or else whether it gives a pleasant after-effect. No wonder 50% of the population is suffering from obesity, and that $300 million is spent each year on diet formulas and exercise gadgets. The amazing fact is, friends, that the average American consumes 1,488 pounds of food every year. And this is undoubtedly a large factor in the 1.5 million patients who fill American hospitals every day of the year. Have you ever noticed that 3/5 of the word death is E-A-T? Paul Bragg, in his famous cookbook, made this statement. He said the average person is poisoning himself day by day with the food he eats. Most people eat with their eyes. If the food looks good, they don't question whether it's healthful or death-dealing. Few people know the right kind of food to put into their bodies to keep them well and strong, or take the time to select that food even if they did know. From birth to old age, the average individual never experiences the taste of real, natural, live food. Our tiny, sensitive taste buds have been for generations so polluted by unnatural, artificially seasoned and stimulating foods that most of us are unable to appreciate the fine, delicate flavor of the natural foods. Foods have to be fixed, hashed, mashed, smashed, boiled, broiled, stewed, baked, pickled, preserved, flavored, salted, creamed, dried, roasted, fried, greased, peppered, vinegar-laden, smoked, toasted, crushed, rolled, mealed, oiled, fermented, beaten, sweetened, spiced, soured, peeled, shredded, steamed, braised, colored, and otherwise seasoned in order to offer an appeal to the civilized man. Well, that was a statement by Paul Bragg. And then he adds this. Civilized man is not satisfied with the food the maker has supplied him and must do something with it before he feels it's fit for him to eat. Well, small wonder then that 25 tons of aspirin are swallowed every day in the United States of America. According to the National Observer, this is 2 1/4 tablets for every man, woman, and child in the nation. And that's every day of the week. If you didn't get your 2 1/4 tablets today, somebody else got a double supply. You can be sure of that. You know, one of the strangest paradoxes of American life is found in this area of health. Though people fear sickness above every other enemy, yet they do almost nothing about taking care of their health until after the disease has already struck. In a year's time, out of every medical dollar spent by the American people, 95 cents was spent to get well and 5 cents was spent on preventive medicine. Now, that doesn't make a lot of sense, does it, friends? But in this field, of course, most people don't seem to excel in reason or good sense anyway. It reminds me of a group of tourists in Spain who had gone there to visit one of the old historic sites. And up on the side of a cliff, there was this old ancient monastery that they wanted to visit. And the only way to get up there was in a basket, which was pulled up over a pulley by some of the monks in charge. After these American tourists had toured the monastery, they were being lured back down the side of that cliff. And as they were getting into the basket to be lowered, they noticed that the rope was rather frayed. So one of them asked the monk in charge, "How often do you change the rope?" And the monk said, "Well, we change it every time it breaks, of course." Well, that wasn't much comfort to the ones who were being lowered down in the basket. More and more, the medical researchers are finding out that our diet has very much to do with our state of health. The body machine is actually made up of the fuel we feed into it. The quality of nerve, bone, blood, and cell is all dependent on good nutrition and proper diet. And the old adage is almost literally true that millions are digging their graves with their teeth. Now, right at this point, somebody may be wondering what all this has to do with religion. Why would God be concerned about my eating habits? Isn't a man's a personal business how he takes care of his own body? Now, these are relevant questions, and they can't be ignored. Fortunately, the Creator of our bodies didn't leave us without answers to these questions. In 1 Corinthians 10:31, "Whether therefore ye eat or drink, or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God." Isn't that amazing, friends? God is concerned about such small matters as what and how and when we feed our body system. The Bible reveals that God did not fabricate the delicate human machine and then leave it to operate alone. He has never released his ownership of the creative process of the product itself. The Apostle Paul wrote, What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. 1 Corinthians 6:19-20. Now these words reveal that the proper care of our body is not only a spiritual obligation, but a moral requirement. Even though we have control of our bodies, they don't really belong to us. We're only stewards of somebody else's property. And no man has a right to say, I'll do as I please with my own body and it's my business alone. No, no. We can rob God by violating the divine purpose of that body temple, which we're told is to be the dwelling place of the Holy Spirit. Paul refers both to the church and the individual member when he says, Know ye not that you're the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. 1 Corinthians 3:16-17. Now this forever settles that a person can be lost for defiling the property of God. But how much does the average individual know about his own body and how to take care of it? Doesn't it seem strange to you that the average parent knows more about the physical needs of the chickens in the pen or the dog in the house than he does about the needs of his own children? The average man knows more about the needs of his automobile than he does about the physical needs of his family. Why is there such an incredible amount of ignorance concerning the way to take care of this sacred body temple? The Bible assures us that the human body is to be cared for, preserved, and maintained according to the rules laid down in the Bible. The trouble is that most Americans simply follow their appetite in matters of eating and drinking. What are the guidelines, anyway, laid down in the Bible about caring for the body and feeding it? God asked this question, Wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Eat ye that which is good. Isaiah 55:2. All right, friends, how can we tell what's good? Surely not by the taste or the advertising or by the colorful labels. Most Americans, following the law of appetite, just simply hastily fill their grocery baskets with the products that have been most loudly touted by the TV hawkers, and with no regard to content, they simply collect everything that appeals to the taste and sight. Like little baby birds open their mouths to whatever mama will put in, so the gullible consumers blindly accept the choices of the media marketeers. Now, there's only one way to know what's good for this infinitely complex body system, and that is to consult the one who made it. Only the manufacturer has the best operating manual for its own products. Automobile makers always provide such instructions for keeping their vehicles in top running condition. Listen, when God made the body, He also gave specific operating instructions, including fuel and maintenance. Now notice this counsel, and then we'll have to leave it for today. Genesis 1:29, Behold, I've given you every herb-bearing seed which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in the which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed, to you it shall be for meat. Now there it is, friends. Nobody can improve on it. Nuts, fruits, grains, and vegetables are still recognized by the best nutritionist as the finest possible diet, and that was the original diet.